We had a speed joke earlier in the show today. Guy said, apparently, he says, I didn't realize there was a wrong way to put the milk back in the fridge until I got married. I said, what do you or your spouse or partner do that's the wrong way to do it? And we're getting all sorts of things. Steve Alexander noticed that it seems like most of the contributions we're getting are from guys. Yeah. I'll concur with that. It does seem to be 95% sound like they're coming from men. And I'm not surprised to hear that. One of our texters just said, kissing, apparently, more to come. So he's making his list of things that he does wrong.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, you don't have to share all of this, by the way. I just asked a question on the radio, and you all can call or text. Let's get into some of the headlines on the business scene now. We start with Mark Hamrick, who joins us frequently on WGN Radio. He's a senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Hi, Mark. Welcome back.
Good to be with you. I just put on my beekeeper's outfit after you swatted at that hornet's nest.
Oh, that's good. That's clever, sir. Not that I wouldn't expect you to be, but well played. Well played.
Well, just all kinds of horrible memories are coming up. But it's great to be with you. We got a lot to talk about with the economy and financial markets these days.
I know you've noticed the jobs numbers, and I'll ask you about those in a minute. But first, just talk to me about the market swings the last 2 days.
Here we go again, right? And it's a reminder that volatility works both ways and that it's all too easy to get caught up in sort of a false confidence when the market, chalks up a day after day of record highs as it had coming into this experience. And economic cycles obviously turn as well, not to mention monetary cycles. And so, I typically would be advising people who are investing for the long term, truly the long term, to think about the long-term perspective, and that is, if you're saving for retirement, it's not only about getting to retirement, however long or short that may be, it's for that money to survive and to succeed on through the end of one's days. And so the presumption there for most people is that's going to be a long time. So that's not to say that people shouldn't take perhaps a renewed look at their portfolios, where the money's located. But most of the smartest investors seize upon opportunities of declines as obviously an opportunity to buy in low. The trouble is there are lots of things that have gone low in a big way here lately, so you don't necessarily want to catch that proverbial falling knife either.
So the Fed has been raising interest rates, which is making it more expensive to borrow money. They're doing so to tap down on inflation. And somebody reminded me that the federal government gave away so much money in the last 2.5 years that, yeah, there are more dollars chasing fewer goods that will drive prices up. And so when you're wondering, how did we get into this pickle? And you may say the Fed should have acted sooner, but I wonder if we rolled the calendar back even further, would we say, actually, this is a product of the stimulus spending that took place. I wonder if that was the first domino. What do you think?
Well, certainly that's among the questions to be asked. And as you know, John, I attend the Federal Reserve News Conferences since the very first one, which was in early 2011. We didn't have any in person until this past week, and that was great to be back there. I think Chairman Powell, for example, would be the first to say that if they had it to do over again, they would have raised rates earlier. They would have changed their approach to the now $9 trillion balance sheet earlier. But the other part of this is much the same as the housing collapse and crisis. There are a lot of, let us call them, contributors to this current situation. And yeah, it's everything from Putin to President Xi to President Biden to President Trump to both Congresses, to all of us as consumers, to all the businesses out there. Everybody has been an unwitting participant to some degree. And to your point, the question is for history, while policy mistakes were made, and undoubtedly there were some, but the other part was we can remember when, there was this discussion about, will we have prolonged 25% unemployment if something isn't done? And there would have been unintended consequences from that as well, including social unrest.
Yeah, you've got me thinking along those lines. For instance, okay, so hindsight is telling us now everybody made mistakes, some bigger than others. Some were more in a position to make bigger mistakes than others. But would you trade? Because we had a pandemic. Businesses had to close. People did not have money. So if the infusion of cash is is a problem that's lingering still. Maybe that's just the medicine we had to take. Maybe we got too much of it. But what were we going to do? Let people starve? I mean, people had to have money, right?
I think that's right. And as, how shall I say, as less than perfect as our elected officials tend to be, and, you know, you can look back on Will Rogers' comments to see we have a grand history of that, maybe more so now than before. I do think that during those crisis days, they did a pretty good job of coming together with a number of unprecedented policies, and some of that was sort of in the administrative realm as well. I know that, you know, there were problems with the SBA. I know there was a lot of fraud with the Paycheck Protection Program, including a lot of it in Chicago. And those people will be dealt with, I think, with the passage of time, or at least we hope so. But the other part is it's a little like the early fog of war. It's very difficult to know exactly what's happening, and sometimes difficult to know what the best course of action or battle plan should be. But here's another take on that, John, and since, you know, our hook today is the job market.
Yeah, well, hold on right there. Stay right there, Mark. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do want to segue to the job market and those numbers. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. We're talking to Mark Hamrick from Bankrate.com. Job numbers were huge last week, right, Mark? Last month, actually.
Yeah. For the month of April, we got them today. And, you know, we've now had 12 straight months, John, of jobs creation or restoration topping 400,000. And just so far this year, and we're talking through the first 4 months of the year, more than 2 million jobs. So that's been enough to keep the unemployment rate low. It's stuck at 3.6% this time around. So I think that the job market part of the economic puzzle continues to look good. Now, if you're an employer and you're looking at that number of 11.5 million number of job openings at the end of March, as reported by the Labor Department, or the 4.5 million Americans who quit their jobs over the month, you're saying, well, that's less than optimal, and that's true. But from a worker perspective alone, the job market is absolutely a positive, and that does tend to be looked at as one metric about the health of the economy.
So where are the workers then? Somebody sent me a note the other day. There's 1.9 jobs for every American, or every American looking for work out there. We're still missing a lot of employees, aren't we?
That's right. And that's one thing that might have been disappointing in this report. Labor force participation, the percentage of those working or looking for work, declined by 0.2% on the month. And so when we're talking about the workforce, that is a lot of people. And it's still more than 1% below the pre-pandemic levels. And the other part of it is that we have not had as much of a path toward legal immigration in the United States because of the lack of elected officials to forge bipartisan agreements. So maybe more people get drawn in as inflation continues to tax more households. Wage growth of 5.5% in this report over the past year, obviously short of the inflation level of 8.5% in the consumer price index.
What's next? Do you see the more people applying for jobs in the near term? That's what was expected, that eventually, I mean, the stimulus has run out. Eventually, people are going to come back to the workforce. And you and I have talked about this before. Plenty of people have retired or retired early. A lot of people have quit working and may not come back. But you'd think that there'd still be a lot of people that have to come back, don't you?
I do, and I think we've seen some of that. I mean, if you had told me, let's say at the end of last year, that we have 2 million plus jobs added in the first 4 months of the year, I'd say, well, that seems like a lot. Are we going to have enough people to do that? Some people have unretired. I mean, you know, fixed income takes on a new urgency when inflation's raging, and maybe people thought that their retirement savings would have gone farther under the previous circumstances. But as more households have brought down their savings where they had it, we now have the savings rate below pre-pandemic levels and actually several years before the pandemic. So we've lost ground there. More people are using credit. We hope they're not misusing it. But, you know, that will have to be paid off, and people are having to pay more for rent, more for food, more for energy, and more for shelter in general. So I think some people are going to be forced to work, and that will be one of the answers to the employer's current difficulty.
Give me a 15-second guess to this. The advertised rate is less than 6, but the real rate is maybe a little higher than 6% right now on a 30-year fixed mortgage. Where do you think this is going to top out, maybe this year?
Whew, that is as tough a question to answer as there is, John. Our own bank rate average, about 5 1/3% right now. I think the easiest way to forecast that is to say they may go, you know, 0.5% higher from here. But all that is dependent on what the Federal Reserve does and the strength of the macro economy. Very difficult to predict.
Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief, Senior Economic Analyst, Bankrate.com. Thanks for your help today, Mark.
Thank you, sir.
Dan Weiss is the owner of Dollop Coffee Company. DollopCoffee.com is the website. You probably know the name Dan Weiss. Hey, Dan, welcome to WGN Radio. How are you?
Hey, John. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Talk to me just for a second about your musical career.
Sure. Well, I am also a rapper and a coffee entrepreneur. I go by the name of Verbal Kent. Started in Chicago in the early 2000s and kind of became obsessed and fell in love with making hip-hop music. And I still do it. I'm still a recording artist. Don't tour as much as I used to because of multiple things, children, businesses, and life. But I still am in love with it. Still my thing.
So how did you segue to the coffee biz?
Well, I used to sit around and I was kind of a coffee shop bum, and I kind of fell in love with coffee culture while I was a writer. Spent so much time in those environments, and I had an opportunity to dive into coffee. Two friends of mine had actually opened the first Dollop location, and they were a little preoccupied with their own other lives, and I saw an opportunity and got a partner and kind of bought them out in about 10 years ago now.
So Dollop Coffee's opening a new location on the south side, is that right? South Loop?
South Loop, yeah. We actually just opened last week at 1210 South Indiana, Roosevelt and Indiana. And it's a kind of a newer concept we're trying out, and it's working so far. It's called Dollop Cafe, Kitchen, and Bar. It's got like chefy breakfast food and obviously our coffee program, cocktails. Right now we're open in the mornings, but we actually we're going to be open at night. So it's kind of our first nighttime venture as well. So, you know, we'll probably start with 5 days a week with a little cocktail program and some small plates and stuff in the evenings in June.
So by cocktail, you don't mean just coffee cocktail. You mean bar service, right?
The real thing. The real thing. Yes, sir.
And this is the NEMA building, the NEMA Chicago building on South Indiana we're talking?
That's right. It's such a beautiful building. It's an incredible building. I don't know if you've had the privilege of going in there, but it is like a cruise ship in there. It is amazing.
I have not been in there, but I watched it go up. Friends of mine had a condo nearby, and so we were watching it. If we're talking about the same building, so this is just a little west and maybe a tiny bit north of Soldier Field. Is that the area?
That's right. You got it.
That's a gorgeous building. It's a nice location, too. But just as an aside, would you have preferred that the casino go in that area, or do you care where the casino went?
I don't have a strong preference. I know a lot of people are mixed on it. Whatever's best for our neighborhoods is kind of what, I mean, I grew up in Chicago, too, so I grew up in Rogers Park. So, you know, whatever's best for the neighborhoods is my preference. I don't have a strong take. It's officially not, correct?
It is officially not going into your neighborhood, yeah.
Right.
Well, put it this way. They've given it to Bally's, and that'll be in the North Branch of the river by the Tribune plant, if, in fact, the city council approves it. So it'll be, you know, a decent walk from where you are, but it won't be in your neighborhood. So you grind your own? Do you roast your own coffee then? Is this your signature blend?
We do. Yeah, we do. We're coffee roasters. So we roast out of a sort of warehouse artist building in Hermosa, so 4200 West Diversity. We roast our own coffee, and we bake most of our own baked goods, too. We make bagels and delicious things like that. The only outside vendor we actually use is an amazing vegan donut company called Beacon Donuts. And other than that, we make all our own stuff. We started in retail. I fell in love with the idea of opening coffee shops, and then we had to start roasting based on our scaling and the volume that we were producing. It was kind of inevitable, and sort of fell into it, you know, by way of growth. But now we absolutely love doing it.
So let's just go back to the NEMA building. That's N-E-M-A. I don't know if that stands for something. Do you know?
Question. I don't know. I know that Crescent Heights are the owners. They have multiple properties in the San Francisco. They have a NEMA property in San Francisco, in L.A., in Boston.
I see.
They have multiple properties. I don't know what it stands for, though.
Okay, but it's at 1210 South Indiana, and I'm wondering, is it on ground floor? Is that only for the tenants of that building? Anybody can go in?
No, absolutely not. It's for everyone. It's on the ground floor. There is an entrance for the residents. We tend to be an amenity for the properties that we sort of wind up in. So that we always try, if possible, if we're in a vertical building, we like to have a customer entrance from the outside and then an entrance from the inside. So there are both. There's a really cool there's a farmer's market that's starting there in June in the lot that the same landlords own the vacant lot next door.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a South Loop farmer's market there on Thursday nights from 4 to 8. So that we're going to sort of time that set market beginning with our evening program launching. It's such an amazing little pocket over there by the lake. It's really fun to be over there. I got to tell you, it's beautiful.
Yeah, there's some really beautiful like 4 flats in that area. And I was wondering how long that lot was going to stay vacant. But if they can put a farmer's market there, you're right, it's a nice little find. So if you
exactly, they already sort of improved the vacant lot. They did the finer gravel just last week. And I think it'll be really lively over there. Yeah.
Oh, that's great news. We got to wrap this up, but you just opened up. But business so far so good, huh?
So far, so good. If folks want to see our menu or check out anything that we're doing, we're on Instagram and Twitter at Dollop Coffee Co. And we post updates about our new locations and about the NEMA location all the time there. So we're easy to find.
And dollopcoffee.com, is that up and running? Is that website good too?
That's correct. Folks can always order coffee delivered right to their homes too.
How about that? Dan Weiss is the... owner of Dollop Coffee Company, dollopcoffee.com. Continued success, Dan. Thanks for joining us on the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Much appreciated, John. Thanks.
1243. More business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A Canadian company is ramping up production of electric pickup trucks and school buses in suburban Chicago. Cranes reports Lion Electric plans to increase production to 20,000 vehicles by the end of the year at its assembly plant in Shanahan. That facility produced fewer than 200 vehicles last year, so the ramp-up is sizable. Lion Electric expects to hire 500 workers at Shanahan this year and reach full employment of 1,400 over the next several years. Boeing says it's keeping staff in Chicago despite moving its headquarters to Virginia. The company employs about 400 people in Chicago and says it will maintain a significant presence here. Spokesperson says there will be no major job relocations as a result of the move. Current employees will still be based out of the building that Boeing owns at 100 North Riverside, but less office space will be required because of hybrid and remote work options. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yeah, John, I know you've been grumbling about the weather. But how about this? How about this for a sure sign of spring? It's our first Mr. Fizz Friday with gardening guru Jim Fizzell. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Steve. Yeah, spring is here.
It's hard to tell by the weather we've had lately, but the forecast is suggesting we'll be leaving the cold and cool weather behind. Are you down with that?
Yeah, strange, cool, wet spring. We had almost a foot so far this spring, and it hasn't stopped yet. So what do you do when it's like this? Now, if you try to go out in this wet soil and try to work it, it destroys the structure, and it can take years for it to recover, to get back to where it's good and friable again. How do you know when it's dry? Take a handful, squeeze it into a ball. If you can crumble it, the soil is dry enough. If you can't crumble it, you want to wait until the soil dries.
Yeah, one of the age-old Chicago gardening rules is that we aren't safe from frost and we can't put things out until after Mother's Day. Do you agree with that?
Yes. Mother's Day is a good indicator. Actually, May 5 is the frost-free date, which is the average date of last frost. And that doesn't mean it's not going to freeze again, because you can still have a 50% chance of frost. It's only the average date of last frost.
Okay. Any gift ideas for moms?
Yes, flowers are wonderful gifts. A bouquet of cut flowers, a potted plant like an azalea or a hydrangea or even a fuchsia. Those are wonderful gifts this time of year. Or if mom has a garden, maybe get her a rose bush or a flowering shrub of some kind or a planter of mixed annuals and geraniums, especially if she's in a place where she doesn't have much of a garden. There's some nice planters that really will fill that out very nicely for the summer.
Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizzell, our gardening guru, he'll be back with us next Friday. From the farm to your belly, today is National Crepe Suzette Day. Tomorrow should be National Mint Julep Day with the running of the Kentucky Derby, but it isn't. It's National Homebrew Day, and it's National Roast Leg of Lamb Day. Have a good weekend, and happy Mother's Day. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
This is, like, it's funny. This is Chicago Cabaret Week. Our guest is Claudia Hamel. She's the executive director of something called Working in Concert. But let's talk about Cabaret Week. Hi, Claudia. You're on WGN.
Hello, and thank you, and welcome. So, yes, we're celebrating more than 100 years of Chicago Cabaret. And some folks might say, well, what's cabaret? It's that intimate form of performance where we get to be up close and personal, the singer, the musicians, to our audience. And we're going to be doing it all over town starting tonight, May 6th.
And it's a week that runs 10 days, which
is... It's a week that runs... We have so much, yes.
It reminds me of Restaurant Week, yes. So then, is it the jazz clubs in town, or is it in pop-up locations? Where are we going to hear the music?
Well, we're going to be in different sorts of places. The Epiphany Center for the Arts or the Hideout would be different kinds of clubs. We have Beverly Arts Center or the Alliance Française or the Haven in Bronzeville. A private club like the Cliff Dwellers Club is participating. The Venus Cabaret Theater and Davenport's Cabaret Room are the regular cabaret spaces. And DePaul Recital Hall, for example, or the Polo Inn, or the Old Town School of Folk Music.
So, yeah.
And then
logical.
Le Piano is a new cabaret room. Yes, the jazz, blues, centers, any place where we can get up close to our audience is fair game for cabaret performers.
Well, does cabaret mean up close and personal, or is it a particular kind of music? What songs do we hear?
Oh, well, you're going to hear all kinds. But, you know, this is Chicago, so we like variety. So there's going to be everything from R&B and jazz and blues to French songs to Philippines with their cabaret and also Broadway tunes, baritone on Broadway, or the Paris in the Jazz Age kind of stuff. So old, new, a real mix. It's a little bit like the taste of Chicago cabaret. You get taste of everything.
Is there something every night? Are there multiple venues going on a given night?
No, we tried not to crowd each other out during this week. So it's each night a different show, a different venue. And when people go to ChicagoCabaretWeek.org, they'll see the whole listing of about 15 shows and the 15 different venues. And the reservations for each are slightly different because every venue runs their own show. But ChicagoCabaretWeek.org is going to be able to tell you where and what and how. So
this is the first year for this, isn't it?
This is the first time. Well, we were planning it for, guess what month? March 2020.
Yeah, right.
So the week before, we had to pull the plug, and we were chomping at the bit to get back. And now people are feeling more comfortable coming out. Many of the venues are going to still ask that you be masked or have a vaccination card. Each is running it in a slightly different way, but people are coming out. And in fact, some of these shows are already sold out, and others, there's room. So people just have to check out which ones they can do. Personally, I'm going to try to catch Bobby Wilson in Bronzeville. She's doing a tribute to Lena Horne, and I'm going to be running after the Sama Sama Project, the Philippines, with Luella Rose over at the Hideout. Jackie Smook is very funny, and she's at Davenport's. There's too much.
Greta Pope's Paris Noir, that's going to be where?
That's going to be at the Polo Inn in Bridgeport. And, you know, there's a history here in Chicago about a very divided city. So I think it's really key that we're breaking down those borders, and everyone of all races and all ages is welcome to celebrate the jazz music that Chicagoans took to Paris in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s. So that's going to be Greta Pope's Paris Noir. There's more French happening because while all of the Cabaret Week is taking place, we also have a conference taking place during the week, day, and it's the Chicago-Paris Cabaret Connexion, the connection, which is an international exchange with French folks. And I have in my house right now four French people rehearsing with accordion and French songs and all. We're going to be at the Alliance Française celebrating the legendary Josephine Baker and her legacy, which includes a lot of us.
Lucky for you, and how lucky for all of us. Claudia, we should go to ChicagoCabaretWeek.org, right?
That's it. That takes you to the Choose Chicago website. The Tourism Bureau is helping us with this promotion, and we have to also thank the Department of Cultural Affairs for helping subsidize the conference of the Cabaret Connexion and this Cabaret Week. So, yeah, come and meet the French. Come and meet each other. I think this is, for us in the field of cabaret, it's really the first time we get to meet each other, hear each other, support each other in a really big way.
ChicagoCabaretWeek.org. Claudia, well done. Our best to everyone. We'll be listening.
Thank you, John. Bye-bye now.